Happy Sabbath, or soon to be Sabbath for some of you. Glad you could join us and those who might be listening to the recording either on Sabbath or another day of the week. Glad you can join us on this, for us right now on this recording, the 23rd of September 2023 or 22nd, depending where you are regarding the dateline. It's a joy to be here, and as the hymn says, safely through another week. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, morally, because of our Lord Jesus and his goodness to us all. I'd like to share a small story. Oh, and Lucy says hi. Would you like to say hi? It's good to see you, Luce. I'd like to share a small story with you before we start with a song. Sabah Kaiser's, I'm probably pronouncing that wrongly, Sabah Kaiser's odyssey began when she fell in love against her family's wishes and ran off to marry her boyfriend. Hours after marriage, her father and uncle coerced her into a car. They took her to a riverbank to kill her for her defiance, an honor killing. They beat her. Then uncle held her as her father pointed a pistol at her head and shot her. Blood spurted, Sabah collapsed. Her father and uncle packed her body into a sack and threw her into the river. They drove off thinking they restored the family's good name. She was unconscious but alive. She jerked her head as the gun went off and the bullet tore through her face but didn't kill her. The cold water revived her, and she somehow tore her way out of the sack and staggered to a petrol station where someone called for help. Now Sabah forgave her family, father and uncle, so they could be released. Every 90 minutes, an honor killing, that's what they're called, occurs. Killers often go free. Her life was made into a documentary, A Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness, and was nominated for an Oscar. How much did forgiveness cost Sabah? And what's that relate to us today? There's in this, how much did our forgiveness cost God? We're told from a different version of the Bible, other than KJV, I have no more strength than a few drops of water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like melted wax. Brutal enemies attack me like a pack of dogs, tearing at my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, and my enemies just stare and sneer at me. Psalm 22, verses 14, 16, and 17. My God, why hast you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? And from the words of my groaning, Psalm 22, verse 1. Many were horrified at what happened to him, Jesus, but everyone who saw him was even more horrified because he suffered until he no longer looked human, Isaiah 52:14. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's contemplate Jesus' words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Matthew 27:46, as he hung on the cross in paralyzing agony for 6 long hours. We're told in Acts of the Apostles, an infinite price has been paid for man's redemption. Another quote, Review and Herald, November 21, 1882, his love for the fallen race was so great that he made an infinite sacrifice to reach man in his degradation and through his divine power elevate him finally to his throne. End of quote. By grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. I've chosen for the opening song a rather devoted to Revelation 22 and 21 regarding no more night being in the New Jerusalem. And for those who know the song, please feel free to take a verse. I was listening to it before we came online. Hopefully I can remember how it goes. And I don't think I can. I can remember the chorus. I think there's a couple of words here actually that might not be quite suitable. I'm just looking at that. I think we might change it. Here's one we prepared earlier because our dear Lucy's here. It's one of her favorite. Would you like to sing this, Luce?
With you, I will.
With me?
Yeah.
I mean, the first verse. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Now, just as I am, blessed thou, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind. Yes, all I need indeed I find, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Uh-oh, I gotta get back in here and sing another one. Which one? If I'm back there and I wonder which one they want. Which is it, 5 or 4? 5. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine, O Lord, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Could I just take a minute to remind people why it's so important to me? That's the hymn that was being played when the first time I gave my life to Christ. I was about 19 in a little hall in a small village near Perth, and that's the hymn that was played, and it gives me goosebumps every time I hear it. It's really wonderful still. Thank you.
And that's why I'm moved by it as well, by her story sharing it with me. And glad that we could all sing it together. They're so powerful hymns. They have the power to cause you to have your conversation in heaven whence Christ is. Well, before we continue our study, we're getting near the end. That's sad in a way, but the end is a good end. It's happy ever after, forever. Let's have a word of prayer before we continue our journey. Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of another Sabbath meeting. These meetings are so important, just as the private ones that we have with you, the experiences in the mount, so to speak, that we get the privilege of having with you and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and to have the blessed guardian angels about us in protection as we do your blessed will, relying on your grace and not on ourselves. Thank you for showing us our dangers and Jesus giving us the blueprint how we're going to meet these dangers and why in meeting them according to your plan, we are going to come off more than a conqueror. We want to learn how to give you more glory in our life. Be they little changes or big changes, anything that will contribute to this end, and we're asking that Sabbath will be the perfect opportunity taken up by each and every one of us to work out our salvation with reverence and trembling to offend our best friend and the best friend of all around the world who died for everyone, not a select few. That people may become better acquainted with you, Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and in the process realize there's a Jesus of Babylon fallen that is a different gospel. And that's why you, knowing everything from the beginning, have given this last message. There won't be another one after it, a call to come out and be with you. The last call before this world's history is wrapped up. Thank you for letting us have a part in it and taking care of our finances, taking care of all our areas, including our health, which is so precious. We thank you for the travel mercies we've all experienced both on the road, on foot, and in the air. Thank you for reunions with the brothers and sisters, whether it's over a week, over a month, or even longer. They're so precious times, and may they be made all the more use of that we have this precious commodity called time that you've given us in this probationary period to get ready, to press together, and to stand and be counted for Christ and to not deny him before others. Thank you for allowing us the privileges that such meetings like this afford, where we're not being persecuted meeting over online. But we know a time's coming when even something as simple as this can be a persecutor's point of attack. We're so glad that we have the blueprint to know how to work in these last days. And although we get disappointed, We may get disappointed at times that we won't live in despondency. Disappointments, that they may be stepping stones. And that dear lady, Sister Jean, mentioned on Thursday that she's known for some time now. She might take her week, her weak, trembling hands and put them in the hands of the man of Galilee, realizing you, Jesus, as the great physician in all areas, not only in physical health, and that you have a remedy for death. You've conquered it, and you will give life to all who want it. And pray she's open to your convictions that you want her to have, that she's capable of understanding and living out all the light that she has upon her pathway. And thank you for blessing Jean to get to know her and be with her and pray with her as well and share precious truths that, if received, will tell to the glory of God in the future forever. Looking forward to a reading now, Lord. May the Holy Spirit be in our midst and continue with us and guide in our spiritual activities over Sabbath. And thank you for the huge privilege. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. So welcome again, and those that have come into the room recently, glad you could join with us. As I mentioned, I should put the Bible up. That'd be a good start. Continuing from where we left off last week, we're going to have a review of what we've looked at so far. And that was verses 15 to 17. And we noticed that that's outside the New Jerusalem, there's dogs, there's sorcerers, there's whoremongers, murderers, adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And according to Revelation 20, that's a brief period. They're not there forever, thank the Lord, but a brief period before they are eternally annihilated. And these people comprise of people where it is said, as Jesus warned, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, said Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? So they're outside the city saying things like this, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now that must be a shock to the system to hear that. That's Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. We read in verse 16 the reality of Jesus being the root and the offspring of David and the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, in Revelation 5:5. Jesus is the root of David through his divinity, and he is the offspring of David in his humanity. Now, only those who hear and accept the message we looked at regarding verse 17, only those who hear and accept the message are qualified to repeat the call. We're told in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, so there's the qualifier, I will liken him unto a wise person which built their house upon a rock. The offer is universal. No one is excluded from the possibilities of salvation. Christ is a propitiation for the sins of the whole world, which John plainly states in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. Whoever wishes to inherit immortality is invited to take of it. The living water is offered to all, and that is fantastic news. Now, I have a few quotes from the Spirit of Prophecy that I asked someone to read. I think it's about four, just little tidbits on this subject or this particular quote. or quotes. I'll just put it in the room. I'll have to open a Word document. Okay. Okay, I can't seem to get there. Righto, there we go. Sorry for the delay. There we go. Thank you. Would someone like to read this to us all? Starting with, in his efforts.
In his efforts to reach God's ideal for him, the Christian is to despair of nothing. Moral and spiritual perfection through the grace and power of Christ is promised to all. Jesus is the source of power, the fountain of life. He brings us to his word, and from the tree of life presents to us leaves for the healing of sin-sick souls. He leads us to the throne of God and puts into our mouth a prayer through which we are brought into close contact with himself. In our behalf, he sets in operation the all-powerful agencies of heaven. At every step, we touch his living power. AA 478. Not upon the ordained minister only rests the responsibility of going forth to fulfill this commission. Everyone who has received Christ is called to work for the salvation of his fellow man. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, Revelation 22:17. The charge to give this invitation includes the entire church. Everyone who has heard the invitation is to echo the message from hill and valley, saying, come, AA 110. It is a fatal mistake to suppose that the work of soul saving depends only upon the minister. The humble consecrated believer upon whom the master of the vineyard places a burden for souls is to be given encouragement by the men upon whom the Lord has laid larger responsibilities. Those who stand as leaders in the church of God are to realize that the Savior's commission is given to all who believe in his name. He will send forth into his vineyard many who have not been dedicated to the ministry by the laying on of hands. AA 110. Christ presents to us who are athirst the water of life, that we may drink freely. When we do this, we have Christ within as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Then our words are full of moisture. We are prepared to water others. Volume 6, page 51.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Coming across loud and clear, some powerful insights there. Now, I think, talking about the subject, having finished at verse 17, you have the Spirit. Now, we understand that would have to be the Holy Spirit. And I thought I'd like to share with you some history. I'll put it in the room and read it with you all. At first, I was going to do this with our patriarchs and the Prophets and Kings study, but I figured, we're right on it in this verse. Maybe I could share it here. So I'll just put it in the room. Okay, so talking about the Holy Spirit and what is his role. I've done a couple of underlinings here. So some history of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We're told of the suffering Savior, Jehovah himself declared through Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow." Zechariah 13, verse 7. Any comments, any questions before we go forward? Well, who would like to read verse 18? Lucy says in a slow voice, small voice, "I want to." Go right ahead, Luce.
Thank you. Verse 18, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book."
Wow. Thank you. That's
telling you. Loud and clear.
Very specific, isn't it?
Yes.
We know that the speaker is Jesus, and thank you for reading that. And it's every man, and that would include, that's generic, includes women as well. Girls and boys. So man's relation to God and his message is a personal matter. We're all accountable individually. One cannot accept another's responsibility in such things. We have an allusion to one who hears and studies the import of the messages in hearing. And we're told in Revelation 1:3, when we started our Revelation study a couple of years ago now, Jesus said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep." So they're keeping them. They're not getting rid of them. They're not editing them. But keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So we're told here, what Lucy just read, that additions to the book of Revelation, though the same does apply to any book of the sacred canon, as we're going to find out, because this is not the first time something to this effect has been written. In fact, I'll put it in the room and ask a brother or sister to read it for us. There are three quotes that I could find in the Bible where similar language is used three other times. So that makes four in all, unless someone's found more than I have. I'll just put it in the room and ask if someone would like to read it for us. There we go. And quote where it comes from.
Let's see what it says. You have it on. Did it?
Yes.
"Ye shall not add unto the word Deuteronomy 4:2.
Mm-hmm.
Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall I diminish ye from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it, and then, and thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Proverbs 36.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much, sis. So you've got two quotes from the Old Testament, from the Pentateuch, or from the first five books, Deuteronomy 4:6, Deuteronomy 12:32, and then you've got sort of like a middle book, if you will, in our Bible, the Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, and then to finish it off, Revelation 22 and verse 18. So, I'll put the Bible back on. So Jesus is authenticating this book of the Revelation. He warns against deliberate changes in the message of the book. Deliberate. Now we can probably think, you know, translators, they're not inspired, are they? No, they're not inspired. Translators are not inspired. Blessed of God, but not inspired with the gift of being a prophet. Which makes you see God takes in the deliberate changes and those that aren't deliberate. You know, we have the wonderful King James Version, and there's things in there which the translators believe which are not true, and they're easy to find if you knew the original language. But they put in what was their strong prejudice, such, for instance, their idea that there is a burning eternal hell right now taking place for the lost, which they got from Roman Catholicism, who got it from paganism, who ultimately got it from the devil from the Garden of Eden. The first sermon on the immortality of the soul told. I love sharing that with people, especially Christians, who makes you think twice. I know it made me think a bit differently, although I didn't really have much of a belief. I was pretty much, didn't even know I was in darkness, non-Christian. But we have here clearly, he warns against deliberate changes in the message of the book. Josephus says concerning the 22 books constituting the Hebrew Old Testament, they had different ways of numbering. There's no books missing. It's just that's how they did it. We're just looking at one another. I hope you can hear me. Our neighbor is off to work again. I wonder if he does it on Sunday. For those, this is a quote from Josephus, who says, for although such long ages have now passed, no one, oh, that's great. That's miraculous even. No problem hearing us. For although such long ages have now passed, no one has ventured either to add or to remove or to alter a syllable. And that's from Against Apion. Wow. That is quite a statement. As you're probably all aware, the Jews were very meticulous in their copying of the Old Testament. They were so meticulous that if they made a mistake, whenever they were writing the word God, they would wash their hands and write it. And if they made a mistake on a line, they would have to rewrite the whole page. That's very meticulous. You certainly wouldn't want to be making any small mistakes. So they're very particular. It says they don't add, they don't remove, they don't alter a syllable. Interesting. You can share that with people when they put down the Old Testament, who don't understand how old it really is and how it came about. So injustice. I find this marvelous. We find this brought out more than once in the Old Testament and the New, probably more the Old. And that is maybe the Gospels especially too. It's the whole Bible, that injustice, that if you're going to add, God can do no other than to give each his due. So you're going to add, I'm going to add. It's just marvelous. It's in harmony with the way that he works for the children of men. So you want to add to the book? I'll add the plagues that are written in this book. I want to put a quote from the Spirit of Prophecy in here too. It's from Desire of Ages 3:6-7. And ask a brother or a sister to read it to us. There we go. All right. Would someone like to read that to us?
If men today were simple in their habits, living in harmony with nature's laws, as did Adam and Eve in the beginning, there would be an abundant supply for the needs of the human family. There would be fewer imaginary wants and more opportunities to work in God's ways. But selfishness and the indulgence of unnatural taste have brought sin and misery into the world, from excess on the one hand and from want on the other. Desire of Ages, 367, paragraph 1.
Wow, that's so to the point. Thank you, Luce. Thank you. Any thoughts, any questions, any insights, comments anyone would like to share?
Yes.
You want to? Yeah, go ahead.
There would be fewer imaginary wants. That's interesting, isn't it? We want things, but we don't really. We're just trying to keep up with the Joneses, maybe.
They're not needs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the stress was on simple in their habits, living in harmony with nature's laws, as did Adam and Eve in the beginning. That must have been before they sinned.
Yeah.
And you can even go beyond that after they sinned, because they're still vegetarians. There would be an abundant supply for the needs of a human family. And that's interesting because most people on this earth are meat eaters. And to provide meat to the economy requires vegetarian food, requires knocking down trees, requires much water, petrol, diesel to, you know, transport the various things that they need to transport the stock, to transport the feed. In fact, was it the WHO? They said the greatest, I think this is in one of our Truth is Truth magazines, it's on the front cover, and it's done by a well-known reporter in England, news agent, I think The Guardian, that's right, and it brought out that the highest amount, most people would say, oh, it must be the fuel or you know, using fossil fuels, and it, of course it was the agricultural area, providing meat for your table. That was the biggest impact on society and on climate and on, you know, the resources, because of how much water, land, food, you know, it just had so many different interconnections. And it's so simply put here, and all because the original plan is not followed. And like you just mentioned, Luce, there would be fewer imaginary ones. So they're not actually real. they're in the imagination, that's for sure. There'll be more opportunities to work in God's way. That'll mean we'd be more efficient witnesses for God, more efficient in the purpose of our creation. And what's the result? Selfishness and indulgence of unnatural taste, because it becomes habitual. I brought sin and misery into the world. And what, from what point of view? From excess on the one hand, right? Lots of food wastage and plenty of, you know, idleness. And from want on the other, people who have a hand to mouth income. And that's the way of life. If that, they might not even have that. Truly two different evils.
You're right in saying that most people are flesh eaters, and that's true in Australia, but it's also true in Australia that many, many more have become easy plant-based diet these days. And that's wonderful for the explosion of variety in the supermarkets.
I was just thinking that this week, and last week, I thought, you know, with more people coming on board vegetarianism, we should have our own vegetarian restaurants. And of course, one of our dear brethren and sisters in the Philippines did have a vegetarian restaurant. I think, not to say there's not a lot of vegetarians there already, but isn't that, it's fantastic to know in Australia. I never forget, I'll share a brief story. When I was in SDA for, you know, it's just under 2 years, I met a guy, his name is Mel Jager. And very lovely guy, very kind, and his wife. They invited us for a Sabbath meal and that with a family that I was living with on the farm. And I'll never forget him saying, you know, other than saying, how do you deal with your pests on your farm? And he's really in earnest because he just couldn't get around the fruit fly issue and that. And the farmer answered some questions on that part. And then he said, you know, we once had a vegetarian. I think it was Mel. It could have been Bobby. A couple of different individuals. They said they tried the restaurant thing, but it just cost too much to run. And that was like the 90s, you know, the decade I'm stuck in, you know, I think in denial of middle age, but that's probably teenager. But it was fascinating to hear him say that because it was in Perth. You know, when it's local, it sort of comes a bit more in the backyard. And I just, Lucy saying that, that is so true. More and more people are, not saying we should be fanatic, like, you know, go to the piggery and that and then start filming and then on private property and then, you know, posting it and that. There's some vegans that really go all out. But, like, it's so much easier to introduce people. If they just had a vegetarian restaurant, they'd feel, or vegan, you know, you have both to offer. And it's not the, you know, there's fish on the side. It's all vegetarian. You know, I would be thrilled. I think a lot of SDAs would be, and other people, you know, Hindus and all sorts of people. And I think it would be a joy to run. Let's keep that in prayer, eh? Maybe it was already in your prayers. It can't be impossible. They've done it in the past. I think you and I were just reading the biography of Alan White in Australia, and from the 1880s, sorry, 1890s, and just fascinating the things that they did, especially because it's in the country we live in, although it's on the other side of our country, which is quite broad, but nevertheless really interesting to hear Americans speak. Americans write what they wrote in Review and Herald and that of their experiences. A.G. Daniels, well-known president, conference president, and evangelist. Fascinating, to say the least. Was that the end of your thought, yes, Liz? Thank you for sharing that. Well, would someone like to read verse 19? Because it's really connected with verse 18. We talked about adding. Jesus talked about adding, and he'll add, he'll give for your giving. Now let's read verse 19. Who would like to read that?
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Amen. Thank you, bro. So the one who takes away from the words of the revelation is equally guilty with the one who adds to the words in verse 18. So the guilty one in this case will suffer three major losses, and they're specifically stated. One, the loss of immortality and the consequent suffering of eternal death. Two, loss of any part in the corporate life of the city of New Earth. And three, loss of all the blessings and promises of the revelation. Kind of finishes like the verse 18. Anything else in here, so to speak. A complete and staggering loss is here presented that nothing in this life can even remotely compensate for. So you can see why it makes sense, the finally impenitent and lost, when they come up in the second resurrection and they surround the holy city, they know they could have been there. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why aren't they there? Because of themselves, their own decision. And they know others have played a role, no doubt, in contributing to their decisions that have now ended in eternal loss. What could compare with it? What did Jesus say? What shall it be? What shall profit a man, though he gain the whole world? Very rare that anyone can gain the whole world. Not even Nebuchadnezzar had that. Yeah, I'm often pointed that out. I have that pointed out to me by atheists and that, oh, not the whole world. No, I know. The whole then known world. But even Nebuchadnezzar didn't have the whole world. But suppose you could have the whole world, a new world order or an old world order revived. And Jesus says, what shall it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his soul in the process? Solemn. Did you want to say something?
Yes, on point one. I don't want to be nitpicky.
Point one? Yeah. Where are you looking?
The loss of immortality.
The loss. Yeah. You mean in my notes?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yes?
I didn't realize they were your notes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's a mixture. Okay. No, that's all right. What do you want to share?
The loss of immortality and the consequent suffering of eternal death. Mm. The loss of immortality, yeah. I understand. But if you're dead, you're dead. There's no consequent suffering of eternal death.
That's okay. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good. I guess you know how you read in the scriptures, it's an eternal punishment.
Yes.
It's never eternal punishing, which means you're not going to be alive for eternity to receive punishment. But the punishment, I think I know what you're saying. They don't realize they've lost it because they don't know they're dead. Isn't that merciful of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they don't even know that they've lost everything. You know, once you've suffered that second death, as the Bible terms it, there's no awakening after it. It's not a sleep that they're going to awaken from.
They're aware that they're going to lose everything, but once they've lost it, that's it.
Yeah, and they don't know, like, they knew it while they're alive.
Yeah.
But then they're nothing, and they'll be, as Obadiah says, they'll be as though they'd never been.
Yeah.
And you go, wow, isn't that fair? That is fair. Yeah. That's gracious.
Yes.
I said, and I love sharing that with people. No doubt you've all shared it. You know, you've got a misguided understanding of God's character represented in Babylon, where they believe God's burning them forever and ever. And it's not even fair as well, because if Cain's gone there first in the human family, how's that fair? I mean, Hitler goes in later, you know, how many thousands of years after? That's not fair. And then also, how long did they live? Cain probably quite a while, but nevertheless, however long someone lived, I've got to burn forever and I'm never going to die. And I love telling people, you know what people call that in reality? A monster. The Bible says that God is faithful and just and true. Revelation 15, not a monster. Not a monster. Who's depicted that? His enemy, the devil. He's the monster. Yes. He's the begatter of such a doctrine, because he wants to get your attention off God's love to save you from that which is going to destroy you, even sin. Good point. Always like, first time I've had someone looking at the notes with me, that's good. Any thoughts, any questions, any comments, insights anyone has to share? All right, well, perhaps we'll leave it there and pick it up at verse 20 next week, which I look forward to doing with you all. And now, why don't we open it up to testimony time, or anything anyone would like to share, songs included, of course. Prayer and praises. Actually, why don't I start while I'm thinking of it? I had a phone call last week. And I don't know, it's probably a lot like you all. Over wherever you live, you get a lot of scammers. And if I don't know who's ringing me, I don't answer. Usually I've just got to that point because it's usually a computer generated, ha ha ha, you've got Amazon Prime, you owe $200, you know, don't even have Amazon Prime, you know, just silly things like that. You don't even get a chance to witness to them. They hang up and, you know, all sorts of things. So I didn't answer this call this one morning, and it was about 9 a.m. And what do you know? They leave a message. Very rare the computerized scammers do that. Sometimes they do, even in different languages, which is really, I feel very honored. And then I listened to this message, and what do you know? It was a lady, and she said, I just want to let you know that I came to the Belmont Swap Meet many months ago, and I read those books that you gave me, and I found them very enlightening. I am so glad you're doing what you're doing. I wish I could repeat to you. I think my voice message bank only keeps it for 7 days, and I was going to share that with you too. She said, keep up the good work, something to that effect, and then hung up. And I thought, wow, that's amazing.
It's wonderful, isn't it? We know you sow the seeds and the Holy Spirit goes to
it. Yeah, that's it. And so I thought, I texted her and just said, thank you so much for your voice message. Sorry that I had to miss it. And I said, hey, if you would ever like to talk, let me know and I'll ring you up. And she didn't respond. Well, hopefully she's one that does read text messages. But she left that. Wasn't that wonderful? That doesn't happen every day. And that was good. May many more come. We did go to, we are up to number 65. We just had the 65th time in Belmont Forum. Other than other places have been over the years, but 65, that's the highest for one place. So that's great. I hope she keeps reading herself into the truth. Don't know her background. Not even sure who it is. But God does. To God be the glory.
Well, James, do you read your messages? I've tried to communicate with you a couple of times, and I get zero back from you.
I look at all my emails. And even my WhatsApp and even Messenger on Facebook, would you believe? And thank you, Brother Joel, always wishing me a happy Sabbath preparation day and a happy Sabbath. And some Filipino brethren put some messages for Sabbath or just maybe a thought for the day. Unless it's gone into junk or you've just sent it and I haven't looked because it's Sabbath morning here.
Oh, I sent it text. I didn't know you had WhatsApp. I'll resend it to WhatsApp.
Do you mean text in the chat room, bro?
No, on the telephone.
Oh, no, I've never received, it's very rare I don't even think I've received a text ever from anyone outside Australia. Wow, that's amazing. You've actually sent me a text message on 0404-881-885.
I believe I did.
Wow. I don't know why I'm not getting it.
Let me check. Wait a minute. Things being slow right now. Telephone. Let's see if I am. Here we go. 1885. That's the number I sent it to. But I'll send it with WhatsApp. You'll I like that one better anyway.
Did you just say 1885 as in the last digits?
Yes.
That would be incorrect then.
Oh.
Yeah. But thank you for trying.
Well, you better give me the correct one. PM me the correct one if you like.
Yeah, well, it's not a secret. I love telling people that. I say it's on my cards, on the websites. So, yeah, it's public property. Maybe that's why I get so many calls from scammers. Anyway, so the number is, so you're in America, so you ringing in, it will be, or texting. It's got, on the website, it's got a plus sign, so you have to add your, what do they call it, number to get your code for getting out. And then you've got 6-1, and then it'll be 404-881-885. Brothers put in the room, I believe overseas phone texts do not go through because of different national carriers.
I've
got this. Yeah. I will.
That's curious because that's the phone number I just, you said it ended in, it's 614-0488-1885. That's what I had. But I have no way of putting a plus sign in front of a phone number. Not here anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. Not a plus. I meant by plus sign, I meant add your code that your carrier, I mean your country or your state uses to get out to send the text. No, you don't put the plus sign. That's just put there as a way of explaining you have to put your special code to be able to send it to. Okay, so Brother Bob's put in a code. Maybe that's for all of America. Thanks, bro.
Okay. I'll try again. Thank you.
I should mention though, bro, if you hadn't done that, and I did receive it, I can't text you back because I've only got Australia-wide coverage in texting. But in saying that, obviously I've got data, so I would simply respond via an email, or we can Skype, or we can WhatsApp, or, you know, because I don't actually have international because it costs more. And with the plans, I'm with Kogan, would you believe? That's an American company. They're over east in Australia as well, and it's quite cheap. But they don't, they only do it Australia wide. You can get the international, but the cost, it goes quite up. Well, I haven't seen one of those for a long time, bro. Magnifying glass. Pretty impressive. Oh, I just missed Sister Lynn. I was about to say something. Until God's perfect timing. She always puts that in there. It's well put. It's well said. God bless all.
I checked today. You're 13 hours ahead of me.
Back to the future.
Yeah. You must have seen that movie.
Yes. I say, I reckon all eyes are on America much of the time here in Australia and elsewhere in the world. And it's rather interesting. For good reason, in the Bible, all eyes are on America. And then for bad reasons, all eyes are on America because of where it's heading. I'm so glad you and I can actually understand what God's word says, and we don't have to be like Belshazzar and be trembling because we don't understand the words of God. Yes. Oh, did you want to say something?
Yes. I just thought of something that really, really matters to me. Because I'm having a few issues these days, mostly connected to my date of birth, which I can't change, unfortunately. My daughter is and I are going to move in together if we can get a place. And I was a bit apprehensive about that for all sorts of reasons I won't go into. But it occurred to me that that would be a wonderful opportunity to get her interested in things spiritual. She's sort of slightly interested, but not really, you know. And I thought, well, if we're living together, and whenever she looks at a house, we look at a house, she makes sure there's somewhere private for James and I to have our prayer and our Sabbath meeting and so on. So that would be a great positive, wouldn't it, if I'm with her, you know, every day. So maybe you could pray for that as well for me, because we need to move in together for other reasons. But that would be a great bonus.
Yeah, amen. I was thinking that yesterday. I was talking to you about, and before that, because I think you obviously I've known for a while that, I said to you, you know, if I went to the mines, which is like 600 Ks away, we're probably not going to be able to do that. But then I thought, you know, if I don't go to the mines, at least I can see you on Sabbath and I can spend time, make sure it's every Sabbath because I won't be far away. And so maybe that's what God has planned. I don't know. You just keep, even the prophets didn't know everything about what was planned for them. So we can take courage, by trusting him and not doubting him. Well, thank you for sharing that, Liz. I have good news to report. I've mentioned this to Brother Bob before we started, that I haven't been getting much work. Traffic controlling, only one job, and that wasn't very long. And my new employer, I rang him, I left a message. He said, I'll get back to you. I thought, that's great. He texted that. That's good. He could have just ignored it. So he didn't get back to me. But before Sabbath, I know I was trying to be funny, but it was kind of funny. And then just before Sabbath, well, not just before, it must have been 2 hours before or so, I said, I'll just give him a quick ring just to let him know, like, he's on my mind, you know. And I rang him, and I didn't get him. And I left a message again, and just letting him know that really need work. I'm sure no ordinary person gets this little work and expects to live on it. And he said, oh, mate, I got your text, meetings all day. We will make sure that next week, you'll have more work. And that's where he left. In fact, I think he's texted me today. I'm not going to look at it, but he said, yeah, we'll make sure we'll get something happening for you. I was saying to Lucy, I hope I've done the right thing going into traffic controlling. We've got to get at least our money back for entering the field, and who knows what the future is going to hold. All we can be and do is light and not darkness while there's time. To let light shine while there's hope for others to have a great relationship with the God who loves them and bought them with his own son. It is a real blessing, bro, Dick, that we can hear you and that you're not cutting in and out and your camera's staying on. That is fantastic. You obviously got a better internet connection than ever. And if we had the world records book, we would write that up. But we will, in the meantime, put it in praise lists, which we are really glad because we know it's very awkward to here when the, you know, there's lagging and that, and we're really glad Brother Joel keeps coming because we know where he is. It's probably not the best connection because of satellite situation, etc. So really glad that you persisted and you've been blessed.
Joshua, are you at your computer this evening?
Yes.
Good. We have visitors here, and I was just told to tone it all down, so would you mind singing Keep Looking Up for us?
Sure thing.
Okay, when he calls for it, you go. Thank you.
Joshua, bro, would you like to sing another song as well? We miss your voice singing.
Sure, let me see, which one should I sing? I got something. That's fair. Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woke and saddened when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness into day when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. How the world will grow with beauty when love shines in. And the heart rejoice in duty when love shines in. Trials may be sanctified and the soul in peace abide. Life will all be glorified when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, how the heart is turned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in, joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Darkest sorrow will grow brighter when love shines in. And the heaviest burden lighter when love shines in. Tis the glory that will flow from light to show us where to go. Oh, the heart shall bless and know when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. how the heart is turned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. We may have a vain's blunder when love shines in, and a friendship true and tender when love shines in. When earth's victory shall be won, and a life in heaven begun, there will be no need of sun when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in, how the heart is turned to singing when love shines in, when love shines in, when love shines in, joy and peace to others ringing when love shines in.
Amen. Amen. That was powerful, bro. What a wonderful hymn. From Christ in Song, I believe. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Well, are there any last thoughts, any takeaways before we have a word of prayer and then get Brother Josh to sing us away? Please feel free. Okay, well, it's been a blessing and a privilege as usual to meet up with you all. Looking forward to next time and wish you, it's sad we can't meet up your time Sabbath services. You have so many of them. You've got Sabbath school online and you've got the sermon. I think you've got another section too. I'm just trying to think from memory. You've got a number of services, which is fantastic, and they're being recorded, and Leather Be Light Ministries is still up, is up and running, and we're really glad about that. Thank the Lord. Well, why don't we have a word of prayer before we close off with a song? And would a brother or sister like to offer that for us? Please feel free to do so, and thank you. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity of the pressure that the Sabbath hours bring. They're so precious, and I pray we will regard it such that it tops off the end of the week, and that our minds and thoughts will be tending toward trust and hope and faith, and above all love, love born of heaven. We need your blessings, Jesus. Your presence to be regarded by us as more important than even the necessities of life, physically speaking. That you'll go before us, that you'll continue to go before us and show us when to stay still, as you did for the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings. And let us know when the tokens of divine approbation are upon us, that we might understand the next step in our individual life. And as the church progresses in this movement that comes with a message, the last message of mercy, centered on Jesus Christ, that happens to have the same whole everlasting gospel from the days of the Garden of Eden. Thank you that none of us need be in ignorance, and with your blessing we'll go from one understanding to the next, one glorious aspect of thy character to the next. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to converse with brothers and sisters, share ideas, insights, comments, questions, and answers. We ask that you would continue to be and grace us with your presence as our brethren and sisters go to bed, and for those of us who have a whole day before us, that they're the meetings online, in person. We think about especially the Philippines, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, particularly at this time on this side of the world, that their efforts will be, because they're on in you, Jesus, produce more fruit, not only in saving aspect on in other people's lives, but on their own lives. That they're blessed because they're an instrument in your hands. We also uphold the fighting that's going on in PNG, that our brethren and sisters would be protected from the harm that such fighting brings, that you'll give them guidance and wisdom to be far from harm, and that they yet would have a blessed Sabbath. Like we often say to one another, happy Sabbath and blessed Sabbath, that it can be just that in their hearts as well as in our own. We love you and we look forward to what you have to shew us next in our blessed duty that you've planned for each and every one of us to fulfill by Jesus and not without it. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Well, big hugs to you all. And I almost thought Joshua left us. He's going to leave us. He hasn't left us. That's great. Brother Josh, would you like to sing us away? And it's been a blessing. Hugs and love to you all. So good to see you, Sister Joan and family, as well as, is that Sister Dixie on the phone? Glad you could be with us. Look forward to more of your presence with us.
Keep looking up, my God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.